I do believe that God holds us to our words. And God is going to hold Jake and Danny to what they said they agreed to before, but he'll also hold you and I. If you stood up and said that you're going to help support them, at least for the next 18 years, then God expects you to do it. And if you agreed to pray for them and for Alice, then God will expect you to do that as well. I want to read from the Bible and explain a very, very short passage. It's one of those passages which most people have heard of, even if they don't regularly go to church. In fact, some might say it was a rather predictable reading. But bear with me. I'm reading from the 18th of Luke and the 15th verse. Luke writes, "Then they also brought infants to him," that is Christ, "that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" Sometimes when preachers get up to preach, they get things out of their pockets to help illustrate what they're going to say. Some of the cooler ones talk about the films on at the cinemas. Well, my sermon illustration this morning is sat on the front row and is currently not crying. That time will come. It begins by saying, "And then they brought infants to him." Who are they? Evidently, there's a bunch of parents around with their children, and they've waited for the end of the day. Now, if you read the previous chapters, Jesus has been doing an awful lot of teaching. And I get the impression that after all this teaching, the crowds eventually go home and start wandering off. But there's a gaggle of people in that corner over there who are loitering. They're loitering with intent, because they want something to happen. And they have young children with them. Luke uses the word infant. It could mean baby, it could mean toddler. And what they want to do is to bring these very young children to Christ. So I have two more sermon illustrations sat on my front row as well. And why do they want to bring these young babies to Jesus? They want him to touch them. Now that might seem a little bit odd. I went to India a few years ago. And when word got out that I helped to pastor a church, suddenly people started queuing up because they wanted me to pray for them. And I said, you know, listen, anybody's prayer is heard by God. A pastor's prayer is no more special. They wouldn't believe me. But these people are not being superstitious or sentimental. I think they know who Jesus really is. He's not just another Jewish holy man. I think they know him for who he truly is. This is the one whose hands healed the sick, whose hands released people from evil, whose hands raised the dead. There is power in the hands of Christ because of who he is. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Bible teaches that Christ was actually God in human flesh. He didn't just represent God. He wasn't just a spokesman for God. He was God who came to dwell among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, says John. There's something indeed special about the hands of God. Psalm 95 and verse 4 says, "The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land." The hands of Christ in particular, a short while after this reading, would themselves pay the penalty for human sin by being nailed to a cross. Oh, say these parents, that the hands of Christ might touch our children. They mean well. Good parents are wanting to bring their children to God. But notice the reaction of the disciples. The disciples were not so keen. When the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. They told them off. They didn't want these children to be brought to Christ. Why? Did they hate children? No, I don't think so. Maybe Jesus had had a long day, and they thought, come on, you know, don't trouble him, book an appointment, we'll get the diary out, come back next week. It might be that they wanted time with Jesus at the end of the day. It might be that they thought, children are okay, but actually, they don't really matter. To quote Eddie Cochran, well, I called my congressman, and he said, quote, I'd like to help your son, but you're too young to vote. In other words, if you can't vote, don't bother coming to me. You know, children are some of the weakest and most vulnerable members of society. And I thank God there are charities out there that support them and try and keep them safe. But childhood was actually a Victorian invention. What do I mean by that? The idea that there's a very special time of life between the ages of, I don't know, 0 and 10 or 12 or something like that, when you can be a child. Prior to the Victorians, people just thought that children were trainee adults who are too weak to work. And I'm glad the Victorians invented this special time called childhood. But it's interesting, Jesus was not too busy for them. Let me let you into a secret. Childhood does not end at 12. We're all children. Even if our parents are no longer with us, we're still children. And when Jesus says, let the children come to me, he's not just talking about little babies. He's not just talking about those little babies who lived and died 2,000 years ago in Judea. He's talking about the children in this building. Let them come to me. In the eyes of the disciples, they might only have been children. But in the eyes of Christ, they were indeed precious. Jesus called them and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. In other words, Christ makes time for everyone. Even those who cannot ask for themselves. Even those who are too weak and vulnerable to make the journey on their own. In Jeremiah 23 and 13 we read, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I come across people in this job who say, well, I'm seeking for God. Good for you. The Bible says when you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. Even if you're a little child, even if you don't know much about religion and you haven't read a Bible for a long time, let me tell you, you're a child and Christ says to you, come. And let no one forbid you. He's even prepared to publicly contradict and thereby embarrass his own disciples. He would rather his own disciples were humiliated than these little ones be turned away. Because they are precious. Every now and again we hear horrible stories in the news about what happens to children. And I'm sure, like me, your blood boils every time. Well, let me tell you, every single child is precious to God. Even those whose mothers don't want them. The Bible says he knits them together, even while they're in the womb. He knows all the days planned out for them. I imagine that Jake and Danny love Alice more than anyone in this room. And I know there's a great deal of people in this room who love that baby. Well, let me tell you, there's one in heaven who loves her even more than they do. So Jesus said, bring them to me. Do not stop them coming to me. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, which tells the same story, Mark adds an extra detail. He says, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. He was angry that somebody would dare stop these children coming to him. Notice, though, he says two things. Let them come and do not forbid them. He both allows those infants a degree of power, but also urges adults never to stop them. You know, it's really perfectly possible for deeply religious parents to put their children off Christ. I have friends whose parents were very, very strict in their religious upbringing, and those children rebelled. But I also know parents who forbid their children from hearing anything religious. Well, Jesus' warning to them is, let them come to me and do not forbid them. One of the reasons many of us in this chapel don't call what we've done today a baptism is because many of us believe that baptism is for those who have made that choice. And this little baby is not yet in a position to understand what has happened. One day, I shall remind her that she screamed and cried when I tried to dedicate her, and she will be embarrassed. But let me tell you this. The decision will be hers. No one will force her to commit, and God will not allow anyone to forbid her either. Let them come to me. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's strong stuff, isn't it? Because we're dealing with something which is incredibly important. He then goes on to give the reason. So allow the children to come and don't stop them. He then tells us the reason why. For of such is the kingdom of God. Now most Jewish people who lived back then thought the kingdom of God was basically lots of soldiers and generals fighting. Jesus says no. It's actually like a bunch of small children at the end of a long day. That's a picture of the kingdom of God. And he goes on to elaborate. In verse 17, at the beginning, Jesus begins with a formula which he often uses. In the King James Version, it's verily, verily, I say unto you. In the version I use, the New King James, assuredly, I say to you. Have you noticed that Jesus often begins his statements by saying, assuredly, I say to you. What does he mean by that? It doesn't mean that, you know, he's lying at other times. Beware of people who say, I promise I'm telling you the truth on this occasion. Jesus is not indicating that, you know, when he doesn't say that, he's not telling the truth. No, what he's about to tell you is going to be so surprising you might not be inclined to believe it. So he's saying, what I'm going to tell you is true. Listen carefully. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. In other words, if you want to receive and enter the kingdom of heaven, you need to be like that baby. Now, the disciples might have expected him to say, oh, you need to be like a religious teacher. Nope. You need to be like a king. Nope. You need to be good looking and popular. No. You need to be like an infant. Somebody who receives and enters the kingdom of heaven needs to be like Alice. So these infants have become a lesson for the adults. And this baby is now an object lesson for you and I. Now he uses two verbs there. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will by no means enter the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean? When you receive the kingdom, I think that is called becoming a Christian. I don't believe that anyone is born a Christian. Alice, we welcome today into our church family, into our church fellowship. But being a Christian is something which each person must decide for themselves. I never chose my nationality. I never chose what I looked like. I didn't even choose my name. But Christ demands a decision from each and every one of us. And one day, she will have a decision to make. And she will look at Jake and Danny. And she'll look at the people in this church. And she'll look at friends and family. And I pray to God that she will see Christ in all of us. So what's the difference between receiving the kingdom of heaven and entering the kingdom of heaven? He makes that distinction, so it must be important. Receiving means to accept a gift, to have it within you. When you become a Christian, the kingdom of God comes within you. The Spirit of God lives within your heart. I'm not in heaven now, but the kingdom of God is within me. If you're a Christian, the kingdom of God is within you. You've received Christ. Entering, though, means to relocate, to go into another place. So when you become a Christian, you receive the kingdom, and Christ reigns in your heart. But when one dies, one is relocated to paradise. One enters that kingdom. You might be thinking, why is he talking about death when it's meant to be a joyful occasion, commemorating a birth? But let me tell you, for every Christian in this chapel today, death is not something to be afraid of. It's not something to cause sorrow. It's not something about which we weep and wail and cannot sleep at night. For death is our Lord's way of calling us home, that we might enter into the kingdom. So how do we receive it as a little child? In other words, how is a little child similar to someone becoming a Christian? I was going to say, look at her now. I think I'm one of the only four people who can actually see her right now because of the slope of the building. You can see her afterwards, I dare say. She's looking quite happy there, by the way. Now I'm up here and she's down there. But has it ever struck you how powerless a baby is? They're so dependent, aren't they, on everyone around them? Well, Jesus says, if you want to go to heaven, you need to admit how powerless you are. You see, I'm powerless to get right with God. I'm powerless to go to heaven when I die. I'm simply not good enough. So Jesus says, then come free of charge. Simply trust in me and you can be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus, said Paul to the Philippian jailer. Infants also have really no identity of their own except that which their parents give them. I've already mentioned their name, even their vocabulary. Let me give you another warning. If in 2 or 3 years' time I hear Alice saying naughty words, I'll know where she got it from. Because even her vocabulary depends on you. Where she lives depends on her parents, the way she dresses. I'm not going to say, oh, I like that dress you put on today, Alice. She never chose it. In fact, I doubt she's even noticed it. You see, that's another picture of being a Christian. Our identity as a Christian is now found in Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We submit to his authority, to his rules. Other things no longer matter. And so I'm now going to offer you a challenge as I close. And it's a hard challenge. And it was as hard a challenge for the disciples to hear 2,000 years as it is for you to hear right now. Are you prepared to become like this baby? Trusting. Finding your identity in God. Knowing that you're weak and powerless. In a teenage years, that will change. You'll feel weak and powerless. Make the most of this little baby while you can. I pray that one day, when she's old enough to understand, she'll both receive the kingdom, and a while after that she'll enter it. And I pray that everybody in this chapel this morning will become like that baby, will receive the kingdom, and will enter in. Let me close by reading some more words of Christ in the 18th of Matthew. Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Let's pray together.